Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Zayin. And we have been having a discussion the last couple of days as to whether we hold that a Besula is allowed to get married on a Friday night because of the concerns that we've been discussing between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of Adarashin and Miskaven. And we had a whole discussion as to whether the Dam is considered Mifkat Pocket or Chiburi Michbar. And we won't go through all of that discussion right now, but we're going to come to a conclusion. The Gemara is going to now Paskin. We begin on the second line from the Tab Zayin with Aleph. Rav Ami Shara Lemival Besula B'Shabbos. Rabbi Ami permitted a Besula to have her first relations on Friday night, on Shabbos. Amrile Rabbanan, V'holok Siva Ksubasa. So we have a problem here, a technical problem. This woman doesn't have a Ksuba. Assuming the situation is, obviously, that they didn't have time to write a Ksuba on Friday afternoon. The Ran says that we're dealing here with a situation where no Ksuba was written. So why didn't that preempt the right that Rav Ami said that she had to have the relations on Friday night, the concerns that we had about a Chabura, the concerns that we had about making a Pesach, about Binyan, etc.? So they should all fall by the wayside. If you don't have a Ksuba, you're not allowed to go and live with your husband. So the Ran explains that this is a Din D'Rabbanan to live with your husband, to have be'ila, to have relations with your husband without having kesubah, but nevertheless, that shouldn't be allowed. So, Amrei Rabban, v'halo ksiva ksubasa. She doesn't have a ksubah, so how are you allowed to do this? So Rav Ami says, we're dealing here. Amalhu, itavsuha mitaltlin. Yes, there is no ksubah, but what they can do is make a kinyan on some mitaltlin, some properties that the husband has. He gives her a vase, and he says, this will be a security, this will be a pikadon, this will be your security to go and collect your kesuba. And this would allow the husband to live with the wife, even though there is no formal kesuba. In fact, different times in history, they weren't able to write a formal kesuba, but even though the din is that nowadays, that you're not allowed to live with your wife unless you have a ksuba. This is very important. Halacha l'maisa, people, rachmanu l'tzlan, if there's a fire in the house and the ksuba is destroyed, or if they lose the ksuba, they don't know what the ksuba is, so you have to rewrite a new ksuba before you're really allowed to live with your wife. That's why it's very important that the wife know where her ksuba is. She doesn't have to have it in her possession, but she has to know where the ksuba is at all times. In any event, Rav Ami gives a suggestion here that we can go and make a kinyan on some metaltlin. So all the b'forshim, of course, is how you'll have to make a kinyan on Shabbos. It's already Shabbos. So the Ran gives several tirutz over here. The Ran says it could be that they realized this. It was Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos started, and there was opportunity, ability to go and hand over a vase and hand over some pikadon, but there was no time to write an actual ksuba. So that's one simple teretz. Alternatively, the Ran suggested it wasn't a real kinyan. He was miyachated to her, and it didn't make a formal kinyan. It's not a problem. Or the Ran also suggests that l'dvar mitzvah, it would be permitted. In any event, that's what Rav Ami said. If you don't have a ksuba, go give her some metaltolin, and that will be to be like a pikadon for the ksuba. Rav Zvid, Shor Lemival B'Tchil B'Shabbos. Likewise, just as Rav Ami did, Rav Zvid permitted a woman who was a besula to have her first relations on Friday night, on Shabbos. Some said that it wasn't that he permitted it for somebody else, he permitted it for himself. Rav Zvid Guve Boal B'Tchilo B'Shabbos. He paskin, and he himself did it, that you're allowed to go and live with his wife for the first time. He married a besula, and they had relations for the first time on Friday night. Another psak, Rav Yehuda Shor Lemival B'Tchilo B'Yom Tov. Rav Yehuda permitted a man to have the first relations with his wife on Yontif. Now, did this mean that it was permitted only on Yontif and not on Shabbos, or that was the Maisa Shoyu? So that's what the Gemara now asks. Amar Rav Papi Mishmei the Rava. Rav Papi said in the name of Rava, Lo Tema, don't say over here, B'yomtiv Sharei, Habi Shabbos Asur. Don't say over here that this is specifically Rav Yehuda's only allowing this on Yontif, but would not permit it on Shabbos. Rav Papi said in the name of Rava, that's not what it means. It means, Do I did not feel B'Shabbos Nami Shari. He would permit it on Shabbos as well. But this was the Maisa Shoyu. Or Maisa Shoyu, Kachoyu. So that's why the halacha came to him, the psak came to him, as to whether a woman could get married and have the first relations on Yontif, and he said yes, but he would hold the same way on Shabbos. That's what Rav Papi said in the name of Rava. Rav Papa, however, Mishmei the Rava Omar, no. B'Yontif Shari, this was a specific exemption, a specific heter only on Yontif that Rav Yehuda allowed. B'Yontif Shari, however, B'Shabbos also, he would hold that Shabbos would be Osir. So why would this be? So Amalei Rav Papi le Rav Papa. Rav Papi, who made no distinction between Shabbos and Yontif, said to Rav Papa, what's your reasoning? Are you saying, my daitech, your reasoning is, mitoch shehutra chabur l'tzorech, hutra nami shalol l'tzorech. This is another famous principle. Again, Ksuba says, shas katan. So this is another famous discussion that we have throughout Shabbos, the principle of mitoch. We have a famous difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos and Yontif are similar in all of these surim, with the exception of Ochel Nefesh. The Torah permits a person to cook on Yontif. Of course, you can't cook on Shabbos. So once something is permitted for a Yontif purpose for Ochel Nefesh, so then we have the principle of Mitoch. Since it's permitted, Mitoch, Shehutra, Letzorach Yontif, Hutra, Nami, Shelo Letzorach Yontif. And therefore, it's permitted, even if it's not in a situation that it is a food need on Yontif. Now, we will, in the Gemara Beitza, refine that a little bit, say, Mitoch Shehutra, Letzorach Yontif, Hutra, Shelo Letzorach Yontif, Tzas. It has to still have some purpose on Yontif. But it can't just be the stand that you're doing something. But as long as there is some purpose on Yontif, even though it's not the purposes of Ochel Nefesh, you're allowed to do it on Yontif. So once you're, for example, you're allowed to cook on Yontif, so then you're also allowed to go and transfer the fire to logs that will heat the house on Yontif. So this is the famous principle of Mitoch. Mitoch Shutra Chabura Letzorah. Since we permit a Chabura here, Shechting, for example, is a Chabura, Netilas Neshama. Chabura is a subcategory of Netilas Neshama. So since we permit Shechting on Yontif, so therefore, Hutra Nami Shalol Letzorah. So therefore, it is also permitted for a non-Ochel Nefesh usage, such as making Chabura to have relations. So Rav Papi says to Rav Papa, is that your thinking over here? That's why it's only permitted on Yontif, but not on Shabbos? So then, if that were true, then Elamayata, Mutar La'asos Mugma B'Yontif, then you should be allowed to go and burn incense on Yontif for the same reason. Mitosh Hutra Havaro Litzarev, since you're allowed to go and use a fire for the purposes of Ochel Nefesh, so Hutra Nami Shalol Litzarev, then you should be allowed to go and light Mugmar to burn incense on Yontif as well. From an already lit flame, you should be able to burn incense. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is you're not allowed to. So that can't be the reasoning over here. Rav Papi says to Rav Papa, you shouldn't have any distinction between Shabbos and Yontif. However, Rav Papa says, no, that's incorrect. Amalei, Alecha, Amakra. It's because of your svara, because of people like you that are going to suggest what you're suggesting, that the pasuk had to say, Ach asher yochel l'chol nefesh. When do we say this principle, Mitosh Hutra Letzorach, Hutra Nami Lo Letzorach? So then, we say this only if it's l'chol nefesh, Dover Hashava l'chol nefesh. It has to be something that everybody uses. Now, Mugmor, as Rashi says, is only used by Mifunokim, Elul Mifunokim. And therefore, it's not something that's considered a Hanah that's for everybody. It's not considered a Hanah Hashava l'chol nefesh. As opposed to Be'ila, having relations, that is something that is Shava l'chol nefesh. Every person would enjoy having relations, and therefore, you can't say that it's something that is not l'chol nefesh. And therefore, that's the distinction, Rav Papa would say, between mugmor, which is not allowed, because it's only mifunakim, only for the dainty people, the fussy people, and therefore, most people don't want smoke and incense all around them, and therefore, it's not shava l'chol nefesh, and that's why we don't apply the principle, mitoshot l'tzarech, hotchotami lo l'tzarech. But, when it comes to be'ila, so then that is something that Mitoch Shehutra Chabura for Shechting, so therefore Be'ila is permitted as well, and therefore that's why Rav Papa says that Rav Yehuda's din only was specific to Yontif, but when you don't have the principle of Mitoch, so then it wouldn't be allowed on Shabbos. Amalei Rav Acha, Berei D'Rava L'Ravashi. Rav Acha, who's the son of Ravava, says, however, to Ravashi, if that's true, Elameyato, Nizdamin Lo Tzvi B'Yontif, Hov Eino Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, Hochanami D'Osu L'Mishachtei. So it says, a deer, venison, which is not something that poor people could afford. You had to be very rich in those days in order to have deer, to have venison. So therefore, if somebody happens to get a deer on Yontif, you shouldn't be allowed to shecht it. It's because it's not something to shovel chol nefesh, since most people don't have deer, only the very rich people have deer. So you shouldn't be allowed to shecht the deer on Yontif. That's not true. You are allowed to go shecht the deer on Yontif. So Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha, Brei the Rav, no, that's an incorrect assumption. It is something that is a shovel chol nefesh. Everybody would like to do it, just not everybody can afford it. But if everybody was given the opportunity to have deer, they all would have it. So it's a dover shovel chol nefesh. Amalei, ana dover atzorech l'chol nefesh kamina. And see, sorry, chol nefesh, a deer, venison, is very tasty, and everybody would like to have it. You're right, most people can't afford it, but that's not the point. The point is, it's shovel chol nefesh. The difference between this and Mugmar is, again, Mugmar is not Shavu L'chol Nefesh. If you gave a lot of people incense and say, here's free incense, they would say, no, thank you. But nobody would say, here's free deer, no, thank you. So therefore, it's shava l'chol nefesh. And of course, there might be individuals that might not like there, but again, their opinion is negated by the rov of Klal Yisrael. The rov of Klal Yisrael would adore this. So even though an individual might not, that doesn't change his din that being l'chol nefesh. There's probably no item in life that every single person would enjoy, but if the majority of Klal Yisrael would enjoy something, so that's considered hashava l'chol nefesh. More continues, gives another psak halacha. Amar Yaakov bar Idi, Hora Rabbi Yochanan b'tzaydon, also live all but chilo b'shabes. Here we have the other side of the coin. We have Rabbi Yaakov Aridi saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan Paskin, when he was in the city of Tzaidan, that it is forbidden for the Basula to have her first relations on Shabbos. Different than what we just said till now. Rabbi Yaakov Aridi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you're not allowed to. The Gemara says, we're using a funny lashon over here. He was hore. It says hore of Yochanan. Umiika hora leiser. Do we use the terminology hora when we're saying that something is usher? Rashi has a richas over here and he discusses. He says, umikari iser hora. Mishum dechol adam rashoi lahachmir. Because anybody could be machmir and say, no, we're not allowed to do that. Va oser enze smichas devorim. Shafilu minasofe shein halacha brulo. In a situation like this where you're not sure what the halacha is, so you say, no, let's not do it. So that's not a horah, that's not a psak that you're not allowed to do it. Ah, matir, very important principle. Avla matir somech al shmuaso, al svaraso, chachmaso, vihi horah. A horah is when a person comes up with, so to say, a psak that is unique, a psak that is, this is a kula that's based upon such and such an idea, either his own svara, his own memory that he heard from his rabbeim, or his own chokhmah, and that's called the horah. So the Gemara is questioning over here the usage of Rabbi Yaakov Aridi to say that Rabbi Yochanan was horah to be machmir. We don't use the terminology horah to be machmir. The Gemara says, yes, we do. Absolutely that we do. But now, and I'll show you, it says in the following Mishnah in Nazir, Horua Beis Hillel Shetei Nezira Od Sheva Shanim Acheros. This is a famous story of Hilni Amalka. Hilni Amalka undertook a Neziris herself for 7 years, but she did this in Chutz Laaretz. As Rashi points out over here, this Mishnah in Nazir says that she, her son went out to battle. She also binola milchama v'nadra sheva shanim bin nazir. So she said, "I'll be a nazir for 7 years, and that he should survive the battle and should do well." So mansa bechutzal aretz. That's what the source of Shas adds the word. She counted the 7 years of chutzal aretz, and then she went up to Eretz Yisrael to bring the korbanos. She also Eretz Yisrael and horua beis hillel and beis hillel paskin for shetei nazira od zayin shanim acheros. That the kind she counted in chutzal aretz didn't count. And therefore, they paskin that she had to go and count again 7 more years. So here you're seeing that they're using the lashon of horua beis hillel, even though it's luchumra. Alternatively, v'inami kihodatanya. We have a brisa that uses the lashon of horua again for luchumra. Chut hashedra shenifsak birubo. If you have an animal and you're shechting it and you want to see if it's kosher, and you check out the spinal cord and you see that the spinal cord, the chut hashedra, has been cut in half. Shenifsak birubo. So most of it has been cut. So then, this is an animal that is a trefa. Divri Rebbe. Rebbe says that qualifies it as a trefa. On the other hand, however, Rabbi Yaakov is more machber. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, in this price, he says, afilu nikav, if you even have a small puncture in the chut hashedra, in the spinal cord, that makes the animal into a trefa. So he's much more machber than Rebbe, and it says, hora Rebbe kirav Yaakov. Ultimately, Rebbe paskin, he was hora kirav Yaakov, which is, again, a lashon of chumrah. So you see, we do use the lashon of hora via chumrah. So, it's not a problem that Rav Yaakov bar Aridi said that Rav Yochanan was hora, that it's also to be boel betchila on Shabbos. Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, ain't halacha Rav Yaakov. We don't paskin over here like Rav Yaakov. We, in fact, paskin that Rabbi's opinion that the chut hashedra has to be nifsak berubo, most of it has to be cut, in order for it to be considered a trefa. In any event, the Gemara now gives a different version of what Rav Yaakov bar Aridi said about Rav Yochanan b'tzidan. So he said, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Masli Hochi, he said this was the following statement that Rav Yochanan made. Amar Rabbi Avohu, Rabbi Avohu said, Shol Rabbi Shmuel ben Yaakov de Min Tzur. It was Rabbi Shmuel ben Yaakov who came from the city of Tzur. He asked, as Rabbi Yochanan b'tzaydan, he asked Rabbi Yochanan this question in the city of Tzaydan. V'anor Shomei, and I myself heard this, Rabbi Avohu said. He asked him the question, Ma'u livo b'tchila b'Shabbos? He asked him, are you allowed to go and have the Bila Rishona on Friday night on Shabbos? And Rabbi Yochanan responded, Yomalei, also. He said, no, you're not allowed to. So we didn't even have this Lashon of Hora. He was asked the Shaila, and he passed him, no, you're not allowed to. And the Gemara concludes, it says, we conclude mutar livov b'tchila b'shabbos. The Gemara concludes over here that it is permitted to go and have relations for the first time on Shabbos. Now, the poskim have a whole discussion about this. Shita Mikubetzes brings down that this would only be a heter based upon what we had said previously, that you can do hataya and it's not a psik resha that dam would occur. So Shita Mikubetzes says this only applies to a person who's a baki behataya, who can have relations without guaranteeing there'll be a psik resha that blood would come out. Gemara now switches to a fascinating subject dealing with the brachos that you're going to recite at a wedding, which will lead into tomorrow's shiur, the Sheva brachos, and a whole discussion about what the meaning of the Sheva brachos is. So the Gemara starts and says, Amar Rabbi Chalbo, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Abba, Bar Zabda, Amar Rav. Again, we always like to say, Omer Dov, Rabbi Shem Omro, Mevi Gul Eliyahu. That's why the Gemara often will have these long lists of he said the name of him said the name of him, name of him, because that brings the Geula to the world. So, Rabbi Chalbo said in the name of Rav Huna, who said in the name of Abba Bar Zabda, who said in the name of Rav, the following halacha. Achas besula, whether the marriage is with the besula, the achas amona, whether the marriage is with a woman who had previously been married, and now lav davka she had to be amona. The posting point out this would be as well for a woman who had not a besula status because she was divorced. So tuuna bracha, we make a bracha. Now what are we talking about over here? We're talking about the bracha of the sheva brachos that we make during the nisuin, during the chuppah. We'll talk separately about the bracha of Erisin, but right now we're talking about the Sheva brachos that you make at the Nisuin. Now, this is a slightly different order, but it's the same idea of the Sheva brachos that we make, what we call in the vernacular Sheva brachos. The difference is the Bari Priya Gofen under the chuppah is recited first, whereas the Bari Priya Gofen during the Sheva brachos in the vernacular use of the Sheva brachos is recited at the end. And I heard a beautiful word to explain why that difference is, because when you're not yet fully married, you're waiting to have the nisuim done, so then your personal interests go first. You're making the bar priya gofen, which represents your gashmias, so that goes first. But once you get married, you have to think of your wife first. So therefore, your own personal interests, represented by the bar priya gofen, have to now go last. Very beautiful idea. In any event, it was said over the name of Rav that whether it's a basula or whether an almana who's getting married, you make the full sheva brachos. That's tuuna bracha. Did Rav Huna really say this in the name of Rav? So, Rav Huna, almana eina tuna bracha. How can you tell me that Rav Huna said this in the name of Rav? Here we have a very statement that Rav Huna said that an almana doesn't require the sheva brachos. Shmuel says, no, it's not a stira between the two statements of Rav Huna. Lo kasha kan bebachor shenos almana. Where Rav Huna says that you require the full sheva brachos at the nisuin, at the chuppah, that's when you're dealing with a bachor who's never been married previously, and he marries an almana, so then his status as a bachor makes you have the sheva brachos. But where he said, Rav Huna said that almana ain't a tuna bracha, that's dealing with a different scenario. That's dealing with a widower, kan ba'almon shenos almana, who marries an almana. Therefore, neither of them has the status of being somebody who hasn't been married, and therefore, there is no requirement for the sheva brachos. That's how we reconcile the two seemingly contradictory statements of Rav Huna. Where it says, that's not true. The almon shenos almana lo, is that really true, that if a widower marries a widow, there is no sheva brachos, there are no the sheva brachos underneath the chuppah? From Rav Nachman, Amli Huna Bar Nosson, Rav Nachman said that Huna Bar Nosson said, Tanu, we learned in the following b'raisa, minayin lebirchas chasanim bi'asara, that you have to make the birchas chasanim, you have to make the sheva brachos that you make under the chuppah in the presence of 10 people. If you don't have 10 people, you can't say that. Shenemar, this is based upon Vayikach Asora Anoshim Izikna Ir. In Rus, it tells us that Boaz, Itzvan, took 10 people when he got married to Rus. He took 10 Anoshim, Asora Anoshim Izikna Ir. Vayomer, Shivu Po, he told them to sit over here. Vayeshu, and they sat over there. So therefore, what do you see? U Boaz Almon, Shenos Almonahava. Boaz was an Almon. He'd previously married. As Rashi points out, Yomamar, Itzvan, this pasuk is describing Ifson. This is a reference to Boaz. And Ukfar Hayulo Lamid Bonim Ushloshim Bonos. He already had 30 sons and 30 daughters who he married off. Warren Bava Basa tells us a very sad story there, that he didn't invite Manoah, who was the father of Shimshon HaGibor. He didn't invite him because he said he doesn't have any children. At that point in time, the prophecy that was given to Manoah's wife, Hatzlal Puni, hadn't yet been done, and they were childless. And he said, well, if I'm going to invite him to 30 weddings, he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, so I'm going to invite him to 60 weddings, he's not going to be able to reciprocate, so I'm not going to invite him at all. And Nebuchadnezzar says in the Gemara in Bava Basra that Boaz Itzon was punished very harshly, and that all 60 of these children died. In any event, we see clearly from this story that Boaz was an almon. He'd been previously married, and we know that Ruth had also been previously married. Albeit Tosos on Zayin Amud Beis is a very important point. The Tosos really belongs in Zayin Amud Aleph, as it says over there. And the Tosos of Dibur Maskil, Behor Boaz, tells us, Lav Davka Almona Kishenises Lamachlo. Ruth wasn't technically Almona when she married Machlo, because she wasn't Jewish at that point, and Elakivan de Be'ulahi Kalmona Choshivla, that she was considered as a Be'ula because she had had relations, so she was like an Almona. The opinion of Tosis is that Ruth actually converted after she was married to Machlon, and not at the time that she married Machlon. Very interesting. In any event, you see that he required 10 people to get together, even though he was an Almon and she was an Almana. So Gemara says, you're right. My Einatuna Bracha de Rav Huna. You're right. So that can't be the way to reconcile the two seemingly contradictory states of Rav Huna. So how do you reconcile them? So Gemara says, when Rav Huna said that you don't require a Bracha, he's talking about Einatuna Bracha called Shiva. You don't have to have a Bracha of Sheva Brachas all 7 days post the wedding. Ella, Abol Yom Echad to Una Bracha, but the one day of the wedding, you do require the Sheva Brachos at the Nisuin. Bottom line, Rav Huna says you do require for the Almon and the Almona getting married Sheva Brachos at their wedding, but there is no requirement for what we call in the vernacular Sheva Brachos, the week of Sheva Brachos after the wedding of an Almon to an Almona. More questions as it says, Elohad de Tanya. But wait a second, we have a braisa that says, Beferish, Shoktu Chachomim al Takonas Benos Yisrael, Sheif Sameach Imosh Shlo Shayomim. Now, this braisa says that there should be a concern for the Jewish women that there should be at least 3 days of simcha after the wedding. Now, b'mai, what are we talking about? Iba bachur, if you're talking about it's a bachur, in other words, that it's a bachur who's never been married before, who's married a woman who's an almana, so even there, ha'amris, shiva, that we said that you need 7 days, not 3 days. So this braisa can't be talking about a bachur marrying an almana. And iba almon, if you're dealing not with a bachur, you're dealing with a man who was previously married, and nebuch, he was widowed. Again, the same thing would apply if he was divorced. So then, in this situation, how can you say that you need 3 days? Iba amon, harmes yom echad. You just said you only need 1 day. So this braisa doesn't seem to fit with what you just said. Somor says, two terutzim. Iba yisema, terutz number one, the amon, we're dealing here with an amon, and it means yom echad lebracha. Yes, Rav Huna is correct in saying that you only require the sheva brachos at the wedding itself. However, there's a separate aspect called simcha, unrelated to the actual recital of the brachos during the 3 days after the wedding, and that is ushlosh la simcha, that you need 3 days to be alone with your wife, to celebrate with your wife, and that's why shoktu al benos Yisrael, that was for 3 days, but that has nothing to do with making the bracha of sheva brachos. That's teretz number one. The Yibayi same, alternately, teretz number two, we are in fact dealing with a bachur. However, the bachur, when he gets married, requires 7 days of sheva brachos, so shiva lebracha. However, in that situation, where he's marrying an almana, ushlosh lesimcha, there's only a requirement for 3 days of pure simcha. So both answers differentiate between the actual recital of the sheva brachos versus the requirement of simcha. There's two separate requirements, and therefore, there's no stira in Rav Huna saying that there is no requirement for sheva brachos other than at the actual wedding itself for the almon and the almana, albeit there still is a requirement of simcha for 3 days. We turn to Zayin Amud Beis. More questions this and says, Meisve, there's another braisa that says, Mevorach lebesula shiva, that we make the sheva brachos for a besula, a girl who's never been married, and now it gets married, so in addition, of course, having at the wedding itself the, quote, sheva brachos, but then you have the 7 days of the Yimei Mishta of sheva brachos. However, uli almana, if the woman getting married is an almana, again, a woman who previously had been married, whether she's widowed or divorced, it doesn't make any difference, then there's only Yom Echad. Then there's only the requirement to do the actual recitation of the Sheva Brachos at the Nisuin. Now, my love, aren't we dealing over here, Afil Almana Shenisis Lebachor? Now, this braisa says an almana. It doesn't make a difference, seemingly, from this braisa as to whether the husband is an almon or whether the husband is a bachor. So, this seems to contradict what we just said. Shmuel says, no, lo, this is dealing only over here. There's 1 day, la almon. This is when an almon marries an almana, so then there's only sheva brachos recited at the actual wedding itself, but there's no requirement for additional days of sheva brachos. Implication being, Aval Bachur Mai Shiva. The implication is that if a Bachur marries an Almona, then you do have a 7 days requirement of Sheva Brachos. So then, why didn't you state so? Ihachi, Lisne, the Bryce should have said, Mevarch Lebesulo Shiva, like it does say, and then it should have said, Uli Almona, it depends on the Almona, Shenisis Lebachur, then the Shiva, Uli Almona, that's married to an Almon, Yom Echad. So why didn't it state that? If that, in fact, is what you're saying the Bryce means, it should have stated it. Instead, the Bryce had just said two things. It should have said three things. So the Gemara says, no, Milsa, things that are psikta, that are definitive, it's one always same answer, Tani. So the Bryce says, a Basula always gets 7 days of Sheva Brachos. And an Amana, under certain situations, only gets 1 day of Sheva Brachos. And those things are absolute. Because the Lekha Basula debats from Yeshiva. There in ever is a situation where Basula has less than the 7 days, and the Lekha Amana debats from Yom Echad, and there never is an Amana that doesn't at least have the Sheva Brachos at the wedding. And then, in the case where it's a Bachur marrying Almona versus an Almon marrying an Almona, that already is going to have different halachas. The Brisa didn't address different halachas. So it just gave us things that are absolute. There is no Almona that ever has less than at least Sheva Brachos at the wedding, and there is no Besula that doesn't have a full 7 days of Sheva Brachos. Other cases, which would be a different thing, depending on who the other partner is, so those aren't mentioned in the Brisa. So we reconciled Rav Huna's statements, and the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Gufa. We go back to what Rav Nachman said. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar li Huna bar Nasan. Rav Nachman had quoted in the name of Huna bar Nasan the following braisa. Tana. Minayin le birkas chasan biyasara. We had stated that you need to have 10 people present at the saying of the Sheva Brachos. So where do we get that from? So the answer is, Shenema, Vayikach Asor Anoshi Mizikna Ir, the Maisa with Ivtson, Boaz, who took 10 people there, Vayomer Shivupa, when he told them to sit over here, and Vayesheva, when they sat over there. So therefore, that is the source for the idea of Sheva Brachos, according to Rav Nachman, in the name of Huna Bar Nosson. However, that's not the only source. Rabbi Yavo Amar Mihacha. Rabbi Yavo says that this is the source for the requirement to have a minion at the Sheva Brachos, because it tells us, B'makilozu Baruch Elokim Hashem Mimikor Yisrael. This pasuk from Tillim tells us that when you gather together, you will praise Hashem Mimikor Yisrael. So if you want a bracha on the Makar, matters dealing with Puravu, meaning the bracha of Sheva Brachos at the wedding, so then it should be B'makilos, with a kahal, and a kahal is always 10 men. You have the famous Gezei Rishava, double Gezei Rishava, Eda, Eda, kahal, kahal, as Rashi points out in Dibur Maskil, B'makilos, and Rashi tells us, Albir Chas Makar, this is talking about the Pasuk in Tillim, is talking about the bracha of Makar, the bracha related to Pru or Vo. Makar is another word for the Rechem, for the uterus. So Tzarech Kahal, you need to have 10 people present, 10 bar mitzvah age people. Bainu Asara, and we know that this is 10, Kimo Hakel Es Hoeda, go and gather the people. And this gathering of the people, Hakel Es Hoeda, Ein HaKahal, the Pachos Mei Eda. You need to have a Eda, and Eda is defined, the Eda is Asara, and look, we learn how to Gemara in Brachos, Me'adas Meraglim. So there were the 10 Meraglim that were bad. So I must say lo Eda Hara, not including Yotzi Yeshua V'Kalif, who were the good Meraglim. So therefore, we have this Xerishav of Hakel and Eda to come and teach us that a Kahal is 10 people. So that's what Rabbi Yavo learns out the requirement to have 10 people at the Sheva Brachos. Now, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? No, Rav Nachman, who said it over in the name of Huna Bar Nosson. What does he do with the pasuk of B'makilos Baruch Elokim Hashem Mimikor Yisrael? What does he do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yavo? B'haikra, the Rabbi Yavo, my Dorish Bay, Miboy Lelech Etani. He needs it for the following. Hoy Rav Meir Omer, he says, Rav Meir said, Minayin Shafilu Ubarim Shebimei Iman Armu Shir El Hayom. How do we know that even the babies inside the mother, the fetuses inside the mother, sang praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam, during the Kriyas Yamsuf, even the babies inside the mothers were singing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says it's based upon this pasuk of Tehillim, Shenemar, B'makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Mi Mikor Yisrael. From inside the womb, from inside the Makar, they sang praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how he dashens that pasuk, and therefore he doesn't have it available to be the source for you need a minion by Sheva Brachos. Why didn't Rabbi Yavo interpret it the same way as Rav Meir just did in this Braisa, and as Huna Bar Nosson must learn it, as mentioned by Rav Nachman? Because he says, Rabbi Yavo would say, in Cain, le makor mi betin. Why did it use the funny language, mi makor? My mi makor. It should have said mi betin. So it used the lashon mi makor, al iske makor. He says, that's why I prefer to darshan it al iske makor, to mean that it's talking about the bracha of Sheva brachos dealing with pru or vu. No, why didn't Rabbi Yavo, b'hai kor the Rav Nachman, my darsh bay, what does he do with the pasuk from Rus with Ivtson taking 10 men? Why doesn't he darshan that as the source? So Rabbi Yavo says, how me boy lele midrash? I need that for the following drasha to teach us Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. The famous drasha. We had this not that long ago in the Gemara in Yevamos, where there was a big sichsuch going on, a big fight going on as to whether David HaMelech was right to even be a member of Chai Yisrael, never mind to be the king. When Shaul asked Achitophel, who is this David? So he obviously knew who David was, what he was asking, what's his halachic status? And Achitophel said, before you go and ask, is he right to be the king? You should ask, is he right to be a Jew? Because he comes from Moab. He's a descendant of Rus HaMoabiyah. And he did not darshan, Achitophel and others did not darshan, Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Amovis, and it only applies to the men, but the women are allowed into Kal Yisrael. However, he darshan, no, it excludes all of the people from Moab. So he was saying, therefore, David HaMelech is not even worthy to be a Yid, never mind that he's worthy to be the king. And therefore, they had to darshan publicly. It brought down from the basin of Shmuel, there was a proclamation saying that this is the right drasha, Amoni, v'lo Amonis, it only applies to the men from Amon that can't come to the Kahal, but not the women, and Moavi, the men of Moab, and not the women of Moab. And therefore, Disoka Daitik Lebracha, and Rabbi Yavo says, if you're telling me I need this pasuk to teach us that you need 10 people by Sheva Brachos, Lo Sagya, the Lav Zikanim. In that situation, why would he have to have gathered 10 Zikanim? The pasuk says that he gathered Mizikne Yair. If you're telling me that it just had to be publicized, so that you didn't have to publicize it in front of any group of 10 specific Zikanim. You could have just done it in front of 10 plain people as well. So for the fact that he used specifically Zikne Yair, that's coming to teach us that he wanted to halachically publicize this idea of Moaviv lo Moavis, and to have the 10 people there gathered to say, in fact, that this is the halacha. No, why did Rav Nachman, in the name of Huna Bar Nosson, why didn't they agree to that? The Idach, what did they hold? Because they said, Isok Adaitik Lemidrash, if you're telling me you needed this drosha of Amuniv lo Amuniz, Maviv lo Amuniz, lo Sagi lo Avasara, then why do they need Badafka 10 people? If you're telling me that this is a din, that you just wanted to state what the din is, so then what was the purpose of 10 people? So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yavo would say, in that situation, in you need bedavka 10 people, the parsume milsa, because it wasn't enough to just state what the din was with the chachamim, but you wanted to publicize this, and that you need 10 people for. And this is in accordance with Kedomah le Shmuel le Rav Chana Bagdasa. This is what Shmuel said to Rav Chana Bagdasa. We mentioned many times in Shas, we have Rav Chana Bagdasa. Some suggest that the word Bagdasa means he was an expert in Agadata, and that's why he was known as Rav Chana, the expert in Agadata, Bagdasa. Others say, no, he came from a place called Baghdad. May or may not be what we call Baghdad today. So that's where his origins were. So that's why he's known as Rav Chana, who came from Baghdad, like Rav Chaim Volozhin, came from the city of Volozhin. So Rav Chana Baghdad came from the city of Baghdad. In any event, he said, Puk va'aisili be'asara. He said, go and get 10 people together because I want to publicize a certain din. Ve'em l'cha banfayu, and I'll say over the din that I want to say in front of them, and that will have a certain piercing to it. And he said, hamazakil uba kona. This is a din that we also had not that long ago that we had learned. And that is that you can be mezaka something for an ubar, and that ubar has the status of being a person, so you can be zochin liyodim shlo b'fanim and be mezaka something for the ubar. So that is what Shmuel wanted to publicize, and therefore he said this in front of 10 people. So here you see, the Rabbi Rose says, the idea that it was 10 people was to publicize the matter. Incidentally, the Gemara says, we don't paskin like the Shmuel. V'hilchasa ha-mezaka l'uber lo kana. As an aside, the Gemara just wants us to clarify that we don't postulate this din of Shmuel, but you see from the Shmuel story that he wanted 10 people there to publicize it. Albeit, in this situation, we don't postulate like that din of Shmuel. Gemara continues and tells us, Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa, Mivarchim birchas chasanim, the days chasanim, that we make the bracha of Sheva brachos in the place where the wedding is taking place, what's called the base chasanim. As Rashi says, Beveis Chasanim means Kishenichlis Olechupas Nisuin. When you go and have the chuppah and you have the Nisuin, so that is where you make the bracha of the Sheva brachos. Rehudo Mer, Af Beveis HaErisin Mavarchanosah. Rabbi Yehuda says that we also do this in the house where the Erisin is. As Rashi points out, even when you have the first stage of marriage, kikshivish katsha, mevarchon kol birchas kasanim kidumfarish. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you make the sheva brachos even when you just have the erisin, the first stage of marriage, the kiddushin, which, as we've again pointed out many times, for a besula was normally separated a year in time to allow them to prepare properly for their wedding house. So, according to the Chachamim, you only make it at the nisuin, at the chuppah. And Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do you make it at the nisuin, at the chuppah, but you also make the sheva brachos at the time of the erisin of the kiddushin. However, Amar Abayi says this wasn't a universal custom. This was only Rabbi Yehuda's din that you make the sheva brachos in the base of erisin was only Ubi Yehuda Shanu. It was only in the shtat of Yehuda, in the region where Shevet Yehuda was given territory. Why was that? Because, as we've already pointed out previously, there are different customs in terms of how did the Chasim and Kala get together during that period of time of the year between the Kiddushin and the Erisin. Some would keep them far apart because they were concerned that if they got together, they're going to get married, and Rachmana Litzlan, they could have relations before the Nisuin. So therefore, some places they kept them far apart. But in Yehuda, they kept them together. They allowed them to continue seeing each other, albeit they still lived in separate houses, and therefore, in Yehuda, they specifically did the Sheva Brachos at this time as well, because they were together a lot, and therefore they made the Sheva Brachos at the time of the Erisin Kiddushin as well. Again, Erisin and Kiddushin are the same thing, just two words describing the first stage of halachic marriage. Since they would be together, so it's inappropriate that they did not make the Brachos of the Sheva Brachos. Now, they weren't intimate. They weren't allowed to be intimate at this point in time. But in this situation, since they were together a lot, so they would make those Sheva Brachos at the time of the Erisin, even though they weren't fully married. Interestingly, the Yerushalmi brings down the history behind this custom that they had B'davka in Yehuda. So there was a terrible practice that the Rishayim, Esav, and Rome had instituted, which we find was instituted in many different places as well, that they required that any Besula in the Yehuda region should have to first submit herself to the Roman leader of that area, the governor of that area. And therefore, the rabbis in Yehuda region wanted to make sure that she didn't submit willingly. So they wanted to establish a closeness of the relationship between the chosin and the kala. So if, in fact, the woman was taken by the governor, so she wouldn't do so willingly because she would already have a close relationship with her husband, and even though they hadn't consummated the marriage, but she would not go willingly with the Roman governor. So once this horrible decree was nullified, they didn't change around the practice. They had already accepted the custom that the chasen and kala would be together a lot, albeit not consummating the marriage and not staying in the same house, but once they already established that custom of allowing that during the year between the erisin and the Nisuin, so that custom continued. Very interesting historical perspective. And again, the terrible, terrible persecution that we sometimes have to undergo living in the Golos. Hashem Yirachem, and we should get out of this Golos as fast as possible. Now the Gemara tells us another Braisa, Tanya Idach. We learn the following Braisa, Mevorachim Birchas Chasanim, Beveis Chasanim, or Birchas Erisin, Beveis Erisin. So here we now introduce the separate bracha that we have for Erisin, which is different than the Sheva brachos that we make under the chuppah. And of course, we all know this at all modern weddings today. We don't have them separated by a year, the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. We have them both at the same time, separated in time by a few minutes only. So therefore, this is the halacha l'maisa that at the Birchas Chasanim, which is the Nisuin, we make the Sheva Brachos, but at the Erisin, which again, in the times of the Gemara, was done in a separate time, so that's called the Beis or Erisin, they would make a separate Bracha, not the Sheva Brachos. Not like Rabbi Yehuda just said. Now, Birchas Erisin, Maimavar. So what is this Bracha of Birchas Erisin, which is what we make today in almost the same format that the Gemara says with some minor changes. So the Gemara tells us, Rabin Barav Adda, and also the Rabbah, Bar Rav Adda, the two children of Rav Adda, Ravin and Rabba, Tarvayu, both of them said this over Mishmei Rav Yehuda. They said over the name of Yehuda, Amri. They said the following is the nusach of the bracha: Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu Al Ha'arayos. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu has commanded us about certain relationships that are forbidden. That's called the arayos, as we learned in Masechta Yevamos to a great, great extent. The asa lanu es ho'arusos, and likewise, a chasen is not permitted to his wife while she's in arusa. The marriage is not allowed to be consummated. Only v'hitir lanu es hanesuos. Now, many add the word lanu, because we don't want to chas v'sholom think that this is a heter, that any nesua is allowed to go to any man, rachmona litzlan. So therefore, our gear says, v'hitur lanu es nesuos lanu, ayde chupa v'kidushin. And therefore, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this bracha, that we are now permitted, when the husband and wife go through Nisuin, they're now permitted to each other, and of course also to everybody else. They're ready also to everybody else from the Erisin stage. So the Arusos are Asura, not only to the whole world, but also to their husband. But now, when she's in Nisua, she's now permissible to her husband. And this permissibility is done Ayde Chupa V'Kidushin. That's the Girsa that we have. Interestingly, the Beis Yosef that's found in the Torah, he writes that the original Girsa was Chupa B'Kidushin. But since the vase was pronounced as a vase, chupa v'kidushin, so it actually got changed around mistakenly to a vav. And that's the nusach of chupa v'kidushin, because one would have thought that it should say v'kidushin and chupa. Chupa should be second. So here it's telling us chupa b'kidushin, that the chupa came about because of the kidushin, but it got mixed up because of the vowelization of the word v'kidushin with a vez, ended up becoming a vav. Very interesting idea from the Beis Yosef. Alternatively, he suggests it means al yedei chuppa, meaning that the act of allowing them to be married together is the chuppa, ayde chuppa, which was based upon the previously performed kidushin. That's why it says chuppa now, because that's what allows the husband and wife to live together, but it's based upon the previous kiddushin. I mentioned that we have the girsa v'itir lanu es anasuos lanu ayde chupa v'kiddushin, so not to chas v'shalom have any sort of mistake. So the Ritva brings down the Rav Haigon left out the words es anasuos. He just had the girsa v'yosel lanu es arusos v'itir lanu ayde chupa v'kiddushin, but then the arusa is permitted to her husband via the chupa. He left out the word es hanesuos for the same reason that we add the word hanesuos lanu, that nobody chas v'sholom think that once a woman is married, she's mutter to everybody. In fact, of course, that is ridiculous. Gemara continues and discusses this bracha, Rav Acha Berei Derava Mesayim Ba Mishmei Rav Yehuda. Until now, we didn't have a chasima to this bracha. Rav Acha, who's the son of Rava, was Mesayim this bracha in the name of Yehuda, and he said, you conclude this bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Ayde Chupa V'Kidushin. So we end off, the chasima is similar to the nusach that we have in the text of the bracha, and he ends it off with a chasima. And in addition, the Bach in the Torah brings down that our girsa from the Hagos Maimonios is Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Ayde Chupa V'Kidushin, and that is the girsa that we have today at a wedding. Now, why do we have this difference between the two children of Rav Ada, Ravin and Rabba, versus the opinion of Rachab Rei Derava as to whether there is a chasim or not? So the Gemara says, Man de lo chasim, according to the opinion of the two children of Rav Ada, Ravin and Rabba, Mide dahavi abirkas peros v'abirkas mitzvos. This is similar to the brachas that we make on peros. You make brachat Hashem l'kenu v'cholom bari priya eitz. You don't say brachat Hashem l'kenu v'cholom bari priya eitz, brachat Hashem bari priya eitz. So it's a short bracha. Likewise, when you have birkas mitzvos, so you don't make a special chasima. They're short brachos, and you don't make a special chasima. But the opinion of Rav Acha Brei Derava, who says you are chasim, uman de chasim, says midei dahavi akidusha. This is like kiddush, where you have to conclude brachat Hashem kadish hashabbos. So there are longer brachas that require chasima, and that is what the opinion of Rav Acha Brei Derava is. And there are those that say a shorter bracha doesn't require, and that is the opinion of Ravin and Rabba bar Rav Ada. Morgatinu says Tana Rabbanon mevarchem birchas chasan biyasar. This is our Sheva brachos, the actual seven brachos that we say at the Nisuin, at the Chuppah, as well as for the 7 days of Yemei Mishta where we have Sheva brachos. Incidentally, there is no chiyuv to have the Sheva brachos. It's under the circumstances that the Gemara is now going to teach us that you say what we call Sheva brachos during the week of Sheva brachos. So the Braisa tells us, Mevarchem Birchas Chasan Biyasar, you must have 10 people to say the Sheva brachos. And this is Kol Shiva. If you're going to make the Sheva Brachos all week long during the Mea Mishta, as we said, for example, with a Besula or a Bachar, so then you have Sheva Brachos all week long, so you must have a minion each time you're saying it during the Yemei Mishta, the 7 days of Sheva Brachos. And Amar Yehuda, That's only v'hushabo panim chadoshos. That's only if you have new people coming. You have new people coming, so then it adds a special nature to that seuda, and it's as if you're having the wedding again at that point in time, and therefore this concept of panim chadoshos is a very important characteristic and requirement in order to recite Sheva Brachos during the Yemei Mishta, the 7 days of what we call in the vernacular Sheva Brachos week. Now, the Gemara asks, my Mevarach, what are these Sheva Brachos? This is a good break point over here to stop, and this will lead us into tomorrow's shiur, which will give us tremendous insights into the Sheva Brachos. With this, we conclude today's shiur.